Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WDKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm very proud to be across from the mayor of Shamokin Dam, who's wearing his robe, the Pennsylvania Bar Association Judicial Review Committee member on their investigating committee. He's the CSVT Task Force Chair. He's a broadcaster, Hall of Fame member, Pennsylvania Emergency Communication Committee ex-member. He's a veteran, former. Now he's in charge of global tsunami and earthquake monitoring?
No, I give up tsunamis. Earthquakes.
Okay. He's on the executive board of the State Mayors Association.
I'm also pioneering the hunt for Bigfoot.
Oh, really? Where did that come from?
Well, I was just asked to take that on because after earthquakes, he's seen more often.
Is that true?
No, I'm making up. Just like you made up stuff, I'm making up stuff.
Well, one thing's for sure. There is one. Actually, several of the sentences on your resume are true.
Several are, yes.
But the last one is decisively enjoyable. True, and that's that you enjoy being called Papa at the dinner table. Joe McGranahan, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, strikingly handsome, Mark Lawrence.
All right, we got that out of the way.
Yes.
Oh, you're a week early, too.
Yeah, we're getting really nailed by our letter writers here this morning.
I know. We're going to do a best of next week. The whole week next week will be best of
You mean
programs.
We get a week off?
Yep. So Mr. Chris Elio will be at the anchor desk for Sunrise. Rob Center will be enjoying a couple of 2-3 days off next week as well. But we'll have best of Sunrise segments or recorded brand new segments that are recorded. And
according to our first two writers, there are no best of segments on this program.
Right. We have two emails ready, one from EB and one from Tom, and they are decisively unsure that they are wisely using their time by listening to this program. So we'll read those on the radio momentarily. Okay, so that's that. So today we have open phones. Same story for tomorrow. At some point, Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay, the new Democratic nominee in the 85th District, or the new Democratic candidate in the 85th District, will call our program. So we hope to hear from her this week. And before you go berserk because you want equal time for Mr. Rowe, he was on immediately after his nomination, and she gets an opportunity to come on the Mark show immediately after the nomination or the selection, I guess. So, and then they'll both have an opportunity to come on Sunrise or On the Mark in the weeks ahead. And we've invited both of them to come on the show in August together and to discuss the issues together. Of course, as you would expect, she has accepted, he has declined. So we'll try to persuade everybody to come to the same table there. He has nothing to gain from being face to face from her, so I don't think he would do that. All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We would love to hear from you today. All right. So set that aside. Let's take them in the order in which they arose.
Well, this one's from yesterday, and we said we got it, and then we got on to an immediate discussion of the separation of church and state issue, which our friend Tom responds to. But EB said, and we didn't get to read it, well, dear leader, has had quite a week. In the last 7 days, here's what happened. A very credible rape allegation was made against him, this time by successful writer E. Jean Carroll. This after more than a dozen other women previously accused him of sexual assault. Will conservatives be outraged? Of course not. Just as they did with Brett Kavanaugh's accuser, they'll call her a lying hussy and blow it off. I like the term credible allegation. This woman could have come forward at any time over the last few years, but she waits till she publishes a book. And then, as part of the book announcement, she comes out with her story.
But so in any event, the rape story is in the book?
Yes.
Or was it that, in,
no,
in
it's
an
in
interview?
It's in the book. But E.B. Yeah. considers that credible, so more power to him. We heard the horrific details of his detainment camps at the border, where children have been living in unsafe and unsanitary conditions for weeks with no soup or toothpaste. Soap, rather, or toothpaste. They may have had soup.
Yeah, illnesses, quote, they don't need soap.
They don't
unquote.
Need soap. Yeah, illnesses and lice outbreaks and toddlers soiling their pants because they don't have diapers. Will conservatives be outraged? Of course not. They aren't white children, so who cares? He went on Meet the Press and said he didn't intend to hold Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman accountable for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi because he doesn't want to hurt business with Saudi Arabia. Will conservatives be outraged? Of course not. Journalists are the enemy of the people. So if there's one less in the world, all the better. Murder? No biggie. He told George Stephanopoulos that he would listen to foreign intelligence on political opponents, even if it came from a hostile adversary like Russia that seeks to interfere with our democracy. Will conservatives be outraged? Of course not. They'll gladly sell out America as long as he wins again. And he repeated his longstanding claim that the Central Park Five were guilty, despite the fact that all of them, unlike him, were completely exonerated. Will conservatives be outraged? Of course not. The Central Park Five were black, so they must have been guilty of something, right? Trump truly has made America great again for misogynistic, racist, morally bankrupt people.
But your 401k is going up, so don't look at the train wreck of a person. Look at the finances. If Wall Street's bouncing along satisfactorily, it's not climbing anymore.
I don't know whether you saw the...
But anyway, so as long as the money keeps rolling in, people will be happy.
I don't know whether you saw the... I think it was Netflix, When They See Us. It's a documentary about the Central Park Five. It's an excellent...
Oh, okay.
One of those documentaries that is, you know, with people portraying it. I forget what they call them. There's a word for those.
Mockumentary?
No, it's not. It wasn't a
dramatization.
Dramatization, perhaps. Dramatization of the story behind the Central Park Five. Excellent acting. It was a good story. You know, they certainly didn't waste any time beating Trump over the head. And I think in this instance, he deserved it. You know, he did come out. Those kids were exonerated. For him to double down afterwards and say that they're still guilty.
Maybe he hadn't heard that.
Well, I don't. I can't imagine he didn't hear it because it was all over the news. And the prosecutor who apparently hounded them into prison has lost her job writing for she wrote a lot of novels, murder mysteries and things like that.
This rape accusation, the new one, isn't getting a lot of press, but I think we're...
Oh, it's getting tons of press. All you have to do
well,
this
not
morning...
Well, not like a sexual assault against the president normally would.
You don't watch Morning Joe. If you had watched that this morning, you would have seen Mika
Morning
Brzezinski.
Morning Joe. That's on the MSNBC.
Okay, I'm sorry,
I'm busy in the morning.
Beside herself.
Okay.
And it's these Republicans who support him that are the problem.
But what about on Fox? Are they using it on there?
They talked about it, yes, and they talked about it on CNN as well. I was bouncing back and forth between all three programs this morning trying to see how they were covering it. But the thing that gets me is if she was really serious about this and he did this, she should have come out earlier. But his response that she's not his type is beyond belief.
Oh,
as you said when you turned on the mics earlier when we were laughing.
Do you have my headline?
No, I don't have your headlines.
Oh, okay.
As you said earlier, when you turned on the microphone and we were laughing, it was because of something you said that said, oh, thank goodness you're not my type or you'd really get it.
Right. President Donald Trump says he could not have sexually assaulted a writer because she was not my type, unquote. Trump defended himself in the newest sexual misconduct allegation. He was talking to The Hill yesterday. Trump says author E. Jean Carroll is totally lying about what happened between her and Trump at a New York City department store in the 1990s. He says Trump pushed her against a dressing room wall, undid his pants, and forced himself inside her. Carroll says she pushed him away and ran from the store. During his presidential campaign, more than a dozen women accused Trump of sexual misconduct in earlier years. Trump denies the allegations. He has also disparaged the looks of accusers before.
She pushed him away after he had penetrated her? Why not push him away before?
Yeah, I think... I don't know. This is the way the AP covers it. I actually haven't seen the Independent's coverage of this, so I'm sort of at a loss, but which came first. But in any event, let's not blame the victim here. Obviously, she
lying, the president's the victim. If she's telling the truth, and she may well be, why didn't she come out earlier when it wasn't involved with the sale of her book?
The president's the victim. You know what? You just made the highlight reel
he
with
could
that
be.
One. That's
I cute. Said he could be.
No, she's the victim. Even though she was not his type, she says that day, that time, at that location, he did choose her. But some of the commentators last night about this says, rape is not about selecting your type. It's about the
power.
It's about right sex and power and overpowering an individual. Doesn't have anything to do with selecting somebody that you think would be a long-term mate. So, President Trump, to say,
Eugene.
Oh, yeah, I have to be innocent of this rape because she's not my type. Now, had she been my type, she'd been deep trouble. But fortunately for her...
That's what you said that got me laughing
right.
Before we were on the air.
So, well, what kind of logic is that? This is the president of the free... He's got his button on the nuclear button. He's like, this country's not my type, so they're safe today. So, who knows? All right. So, that's the president. We'll take more comers on this.
We have Tom's email. Too. We promise to do that.
All right. Well, let's take our callers. We have a caller, or have a caller at the moment. 1-800-795-9565. Now, I want you to find the EB1 and delete it. That's your thing these days, is just minimizing
it. I hate to delete EB.
And then it'll still
be accused
it'll be
of
in
something.
The,
and by,
it'll
if
be
I
in
delete.
The delete basket if we need it.
All
but
right,
your
EB
favorite
is
thing is just minimizing these things, and then we have hundreds of emails left over. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Mike, we talked about EB's letter and the president's accusation, wide range of topics. What is on your mind today? It's an open day.
Well, generally, it's a little too early in the morning for a guy at my age to be talking about sex. So I'd like to ignore that woman and her accusation.
Okay.
And move on to Bernie Sanders is proposing a program where all college debt would be absolved and college would be free. And, you know, on the surface, I think that would be great, but I would really like to hear some discussion about the impact that that would have on the economy of the United States. And I'm not an economist, never took a business course or anything like that, but just offhand, I'm thinking that it would have some real impacts on our economy and the way we do business here in the United States. And I think it's something we'd have to think long and hard about. And I think it's actually ludicrous that he's proposing this, but I think it gives a good opportunity to maybe educate some people about how the country really works.
Well, I think if all student loans are forgiven, it would have to be, trillions of dollars that we'd have to... I know where he wants to get the taxes from stock trades and wealthy individuals, that sort of thing, but... what is the total loan amount? I mean, you don't have to be billions and billions of dollars that people have borrowed. And besides, okay, so because you can afford it, you sign up for Bloomsburg University and you borrow X dollars. Why don't I just go to Susquehanna or Bucknell instead if I can get in there? Why don't just go to those? They're $50,000 a year, but hey, my loans are going to be forgiven.
Exactly. So my point is this. It's actually, I guess, $1.6 trillion outstanding on loans, okay? And much of that, I mean, I have friends, children who went to school, you know, for law or medical or what have you, and they have student loans, but they're not having any trouble paying them because, you know, they have three brand-new cars. So my point is this. If we make college free, that if you subsidize something, you're going to get more of it. So you're going to get more college students. But we're going to send more kids to school than ordinarily would go to college, and we're going to have less kids in the workforce. So what is that going to do to people that are looking to hire young men and women to enter their workforce? They're not going to be there. They're going to be sitting in college. And so that's going to be an impact. Secondly, it would be a change to society in itself. You're going to, you know, even today we have kids, you know, that get out of high school and they get married at 18 and 19 and start a family by 20 and 21. So you're going to change the demographics if you funnel all these kids into school. So I think, you know, just from that alone, I think we'd have a tremendous impact on society. And then the other thing is they're proposing that they tax the wealthy They tax Wall Street. They tax traders. They tax people that invest in their 401k. And last time I checked, there's still a lot of people in this country that work for companies that have 401k. So they're going to, you know, they don't have a retirement plan. They have a 401k, and they're going to be taxing those 401ks. So you're taking money from people that are saving for their retirement to give it to people to go to college or absolve their loan. So there's a tremendous amount of things that go into this, and I think it's just a way. I think they're, I mean, really, I believe the socialists really want this, but I think right now they're just trying to outdo each other and offer more things to get their attention. Plus, one of your other callers said yesterday, they're trying to get the millennials registered to vote, and that they'll turn out no matter whether there's a plan to resolve their debt or not. So I think it's a big scam. But at the bottom line is, I just hope that we have a conversation, that we try to look at this in depth rather than just say, the Republicans hate it, the Democrats love it, and that's why you got to vote for the Democrats. I hope we can look at this and discuss it factually.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you
so much, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate your call, sir.
1-800-795-9565. When we come back, we're going to read the latest remark from E.B. about the woman who came forward recently and said the president raped her back in the 1990s. And we have texts that relate to that accusation as well. So we'll read those on the air.
And we must discuss, as we promised yesterday, the drag queen story. Story hours at libraries.
Right, and we have Tom's email, too, and
yes.
he's not a
busy
happy
day.
Listener. 1-800-795-9565. It is the live telephone talk show. Callers get first priority around here, but we'll have to admit we have some fabulous texts and emails standing by, and we'll get to those. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WDKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we got a caller standing by. Demos, thank you so much for calling in. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much, the parole officers and the kids. They're working hard the last Saturday to paint the stores in 4th Street between the Market and Woodland Avenue, and special Joe Bartello, SRI, the mayor, and Megan Beck.
I saw that. Yeah, Megan Beck and Joe Bartello and the mayor and those kids did a fabulous job. Super.
Oh, and those people, they care for the Sunbury to make a better place to live.
Right. But since it didn't involve anything bad, no arrests, and nothing got trashed, of course, we don't do a story about that. So thank you, though.
Okay.
I'm just joking. But seriously, yeah, thanks for calling in. Excellent point. We did share it on our Facebook page, made sure everybody knew Joe Bartello, Megan Beck, and the mayor and some other kids are doing single-handedly sprucing up the whole downtown. So we appreciate that. Well, also, the Litter Patrol was in town over the weekend, too. We saw them.
Right.
All right. So on the topic of...
we have so many topics here that we promised we'd discuss. So we'll try and get to some topics here that are of general interest.
And individual has accused
Butterbread 7,
President Trump.
Right, says, you've answered your own question. Women often don't come forward because when they do, people, especially men, immediately accuse them of lying or having ulterior motives.
Now, who would
Butterbread
accuse...
Butterbread 7, seriously, wouldn't you have more credence or give more credence to what this woman said if she had come out when many others did or even when the Me Too movement started? But the fact, doesn't it trouble you at all that her allegation coincides with the release of her book?
Well,
does
Joe,
it bothers
see,
me.
Here's the rub. Nobody comes forward on your time frame.
All right, it's all my
and
fault.
And they know they'll be accused of lying. For example, read the text, the top one, please.
Bernie is an old fool. He sure likes to spend other people's money. What happens when the old communist Bernie runs out of other people's money? Why should leftists be all about fairness, or is it their fairness only fair when you agree with their evil plans? Socialism is just a kinder, gentler form of communism.
Right,
people
here.
That never... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the end of the... Stop that. That's
okay.
The end of that.
Another lying hit job from another leftist. If this woman had actually been assaulted, she would have come out with her suspect story 4 years ago when Trump came down the escalator. Remember, the leftists want to get Trump out by any means necessary.
So the rape victim won't come forward because we know that men will accuse them of lying, even though they have absolutely no evidence at all whatsoever.
Well, does she have any evidence to support this? Is there any video of her being pushed into the room at the, what was it, Bergdorf Goodman's?
She seems to have a pretty clear memory of the incident, and that
sure,
is...
I have a pretty big memory of Bigfoot coming into my backyard the other day and saying hi.
So you are certain she made this story
no,
up?
No, but I'm just saying I think it deserves a little more scrutiny than the average story, simply, and so many, what troubles me is so many people are taking it at face value without questioning whether or not there was an ulterior motive. And I find her timing suspect. Doesn't mean she's lying. I could be totally wrong.
What's so suspicious about the timing?
That she's trying to sell her book. I mean, let's face it, an allegation, something really exciting. Oh, I got to read this book. I got to see what the president did to this woman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't find that at all concerning?
Well, I think she decided it was time to go forward with her story. She wrote
just happened when she wrote the book.
Well, she decided it was time to come forward, so she wrote a book. The
you
book
know
is
what the
ready,
book is
and
all
now
about?
It's out.
The book's all about other men who have been powerful men that she's had encounters with.
Okay.
Not necessarily sexual encounters, but apparently encounters. So.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you for making the smarter half of our audience 100% right today. If you come out with a sexual allegation against Joe's president, you are lying.
No,
and a hussy.
I did not say that.
Or
either
no,
one of those
profiteer.
Things.
You're a profiteer.
I said I just find it troubling. So, and Butterbread 7 responds again, so the timing of Jean Carroll's accusation bothers you more than the possibility that the president is a rapist. No, they both bother me.
I don't think so. I think he got you on
let's
that
face
one.
It. No, I mean, the president's absolutely off the wall when he says, as a defense, that she isn't my type. I mean, somebody ought to wash his mouth out with soap, too.
All right, you have 5 minutes to read Tom's
okay.
email.
Well, I'll read it very slowly then.
It won't take you that long. Okay.
All right. The Conservative Hypocrites Club of the Greater Susquehanna Valley, AD, Alabama Division.
As in on the mark.
Right. Held yet another on-air meeting on yesterday's show. At this meeting, completely ignoring the Constitution in regards to separation of church and state was discussed. The Bible was, as usual, used as a guideline for this discussion. This is the norm for most discussions by this group. According to this group, the Bible trumps the Constitution, federal, state, and any other laws. A new low for this show? Hardly! This nonsense is coming from the same group that elects Republicans because they appoint conservative judges who follow the Constitution and don't interpret the Constitution to their liking. Really? Ha-ha! The Constitution is shredded on a regular basis by this group of hypocrites. This is the same group that cries socialism on anything they can't make money off of, while at the same time not caring about the hundreds of billions of tax dollars given to large corporations, millionaires, and billionaires in the form of subsidies and tax cuts. But then, money can be made off of that. This is the same group that is opposed to legal abortion, but doesn't mind if someone dies from exposure to the elements, starvation, lack of health care, or being shredded to pieces by an AR-15. This group loves the Constitution, except for the parts that don't fit their personal agenda. A very confused and conflicted group, to say the least.
He'd be talking about you, Joe. And I tried to defend the Constitution yesterday and tried several times to point out that it is illegal for school coaches to participate in organized prayer at a baseball game.
His argument here is the Supreme Court's wrong because there are conservative justices on it who decided in a way he didn't like it.
What?
That's what he's saying. He said Republicans who appoint justices...
Well, yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with Montoursville. That law hasn't changed. So the individuals at Montoursville were doing something illegal.
No, we're talking about the cross.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was talking about the cross and the fact that he was talking about judges and their decision.
Next says, I smell a repeat of the Blasey Ford Kavanaugh episode. Yeah, where a rapist comes forward. a sexual assault victim comes forward, makes an accusation, and of course, based on absolutely no evidence at all whatsoever, she's appropriately dismissed as a liar and hussy.
Well, let's take Jussie Smollett. Same thing in that case. Everybody was saying, oh, well, the left or the right is just dismissing his claims because it doesn't fit. You know, look at the mess he's in now.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
But seriously, that's Johnny Cochran, if you don't mind. But seriously, not everybody who comes forward with a story is telling the truth, and not everyone is lying. I think you should. I always go with what Ronald Reagan said about the Russians: trust but verify. Okay, I trust that you are serious in your allegation, but forgive me if I take a closer look at it to determine whether or not you're telling the truth and what you say happened actually happened.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
Well, no, that's very reasonable. Nothing wrong with that. But, okay, so where
But you're saying, in effect, that if I dare to question this woman, I'm part of the problem.
Well, no, it's not questioning. You go from, okay, this is an objective case. She has some evidence. The president has a denial.
She has no evidence. She has her statement.
Well, her memory is considered evidence in court. And so therefore, I mean, if she ends
if
up
she
in
testifies.
A, if she were in a court situation, your distinct memories are subject to, use in
you
court
may testify,
if you so choose.
Yes, you may
right,
testify.
Right, okay. So there's your evidence.
The president.
You want, what, some sort of a video image or something? You're not going to get it. But then she's immediately dismissed as a liar and a hussy. So where's the objective viewpoint
on her story
there? I don't
know anybody who's
there?
Dismissing her as a liar or a hussy. I just know some people who are questioning whether or not her story is motivated by commercial interests.
I just read the text.
Oh, well, that one. All right. That's one man, one person.
Well, that's the one.
Okay.
All right. We're going to have to take a break for the CBS News. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Rob Center, fabulous producer. So far we read EB's letter. He's not happy about Republicans dismissing outright anything bad that happens to the president. We read Tom's letter, too. He's not happy about the fact that the Constitution got shredded yesterday by Republicans, as long as they get to pray at a baseball game sponsored by a high school. We have the drag queens at the library email coming up very shortly. One caller talked in about Bernie Sanders' plan to pay off student loans, and the rape allegation has been summarily dismissed because, unfortunately, the accuser is a liar and a hussy. So we're making a lot of progress on things here.
That is not the opinion anybody on the program expressed.
Well, that's what the text said.
That's what the text said, but I meant nothing, and no one in the mainstream media is outright dismissing her claim, but I think a lot of people are questioning it, with the exception of MSNBC, who accepts anything anybody says against the president as absolute gospel.
And your objective viewpoint is the way we could all afford to behave when it comes to these certain things, accusations, which is what? To objectively look at the evidence on both sides and just consider your opinion. Our opinion on this doesn't really have too much
Everybody bearing. Is entitled to a fair hearing. You know, but what is the point of her coming forward at this juncture? Is she going to file criminal charges? Is she going to file a lawsuit? Or is she trying to sell a book? I mean, what is it about today, this time, that makes her want to tell her story? And it happens to coincide with a book she wrote. Now, I find that a little bit suspicious. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm cynical. But that just seems like at least it's self-serving, if nothing else.
And my view on this, again, she for whatever reason in her life, she decided to come forward and tell the stories of what has happened in her life, some things she chose to do, some things men imposed on her. She decided to put into a book. The book is out, and voila, it does have the accusation about the president. That's not the subject of the whole book, but
the book is out. Well, it's the largest selling point. But be that as it may, the president has certainly not covered himself herself with Glory.
Well, she's not
way.
His type. It's obviously a false accusation. He only rapes certain kind of women, apparently. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Are you okay over there?
No. He only rapes certain types.
Well, that's what
only
he said.
His type.
You know logic, right? A plus B equals C, or, you know, so A, did not rape her. She's not my type. So therefore, had she been his type, what? He would rape her.
Well, you're in effect saying I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Is that the old line?
Well, that's his kind of activity, yeah. All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. If you'd like to fix me straight, call me now. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We are enjoying open phones. We do have the email up about the
drag queens
at the library, yes. So then this is an upcoming event if you would like to attend. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. A slow turnaround continues for Sunbury PD. Monday night, City Council added two more full-time officers who will be on duty by the end of July. It's the new look police force, as the mayor, Kurt Karlovich, when he talked about hiring Aaron Doyle and Trey Kurtz. They'll join Sunbury PD. There'll be one more retirement, and that will leave the City PD at 7 full-time. Shikellamy's looking for two more officers as well. The search is underway for the two officers who will staff the Shikellamy Police Force. There are a number of career training and education programs helping the former employees of Woodmode. Erica Mulberger, Executive Director of the Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development Corporation, says they're here to help people seeking a job.
We also offer skills training, where if they want to go back, maybe they want to switch careers entirely and go into the health industry. We have a high priority occupations list that includes manufacturing jobs, finance jobs, healthcare jobs, anything like that that we can help support if they want to switch career path.
She was on a recent edition of WDKOK's On the Mark. You can hear that program on the WDKOK podcast page. Don't envy NBC News executive Rashida Jones, who is behind this week's inaugural Democratic presidential debate and will have to juggle 20 candidates, 5 news personalities, and it's likely one tweeting president. While the event is obviously important for politicians getting their first wide exposure as potential presidents, the stakes are high for NBC, too. Quote, primary debates are a big prestige event for every network, unquote, says Mark Lucevic, a dean of Hofstra University School of Communications, who had Jones' job 4 years ago. Quote, it's why every network tries to get one and tries to get as many as they can. It's a branding opportunity, unquote. The debate will unfold over 2 hours Wednesday and Thursday. 10 candidates each night will air on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo. Lester Holt, Savannah Guthrie, Jose Diaz-Balart, Rachel Maddow, and Chuck Todd will be the NBC News personalities on stage in Miami.
Almost as many of them as there are candidates.
And finally, a Florida woman's effort to protect herself from domestic violence has become a flashpoint in the debate over gun rights and victim safety. Courtney Irby gave her estranged husband's guns to police. Now, what happened is they're separated, and they may be divorced as well. In any event, they live in separate homes. She went into his home, took his guns, and gave them to police. Courtney Irby gave her estranged husband's guns to police after he was charged with domestic violence, aggravated battery. Now she finds herself arrested for theft. A Florida lawmaker and gun safety advocates are championing her cause, asking for the state's attorney to drop the charges, while gun rights advocates want her prosecuted. Courtney Irby spent 6 days in jail on charges of armed burglary and grand theft after she retrieved the assault rifle and handgun from her husband's apartment and gave them to the Lakeland police. Joseph Irby, the husband, was spending 1 day in jail at the time, accused of ramming into her car after a June 14th divorce hearing. After her husband's arrest, Courtney Irby petitioned for a temporary injunction for protection, which was granted. Federal law prohibits people under a domestic violence restraining order from possessing guns, but it is up to local law enforcement to enforce it, according to the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. So she, the local police have absolutely no interest in going after these guns, or maybe they were going to before he was out of jail. We'll never know, because she went and got him before he got out of jail.
Good for her.
So you're happy about this?
Yes, I am.
I'm shocked.
I am.
It's burglary.
It's not burglary. I mean, the woman's trying to defend herself. I mean, that restraining order is only a piece of paper. The guy obviously rammed into her with his car. You know, what do you think he's going to do when he gets out of jail with those guns?
What
he was
happened?
Only in for one day. I mean, she did the right thing. I don't blame her. She's defending herself.
You get out of here and you send in the real Joe right away.
As a gun nut, I'm sure you favor having her arrested.
She should be charged with burglary and
no,
spend a
she
long
shouldn't.
Time in jail. They don't
absolutely
have, there's
not.
No red flag law here. Or there's no red flag violation here. Granted, he got a little irritated with his automobile. But
a little irritated with his automobile. He could have killed her.
You cannot take the law into your own hands. I'm sorry. It's just
he did.
Just like Montoursville, praying in public. It's illegal. You can't flout the law. She can't flout the law. She should, well, whatever there is appropriate.
You're calling her a floozy?
I'm not calling her anything.
You said she flouts.
Flouts the law. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have been talking primarily today about the fact that there is an author that's come forward, and in her new book that speaks of several encounters with the men of the world in recent years. The book is out. It does include an accusation that the president raped her at one point in the 1990s. The president says that's absolutely impossible because she's not his type. Lance, what's your view on this? Thank you for calling in. Go right ahead.
Why, a paving crew just moved in outside here, so if you hear some noises, that's what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. You have a smooth road soon.
I hope. Anyway, insofar as our president's comment about that, I think he was just being facetious. I really do. Because that's the way I look at that. But anyway, about the...
should you kid or joke or be facetious about a rape accusation?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the deal. He's just fluffing it off as it being nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, he's so
happened.
Used to it.
Well, yeah, I'd say so. But now listen, the Roe in Roe v. Wade, that lady was lying right from the get-go about how she became pregnant. He said that it was a gang rape. So naturally, the people would have been for abortion more for someone that was a rape victim than someone that was out on the street charging for her services, which is what she was doing. Now, maybe not at that particular time that she became pregnant, we don't know, but at other times she had. Also, later on, when she found Jesus, she confessed to the whole thing. Now, how many people were swayed toward, you know, abortion? Because here is this poor, helpless, you know, victim that we're looking at, when in reality we were not.
What difference does it make where people are swayed or not swayed towards abortion based on this story?
Well, how it would be ruled in the court.
Oh, so the court was going by public opinion. So if everybody favored abortion, the court would go that way too?
Well, it seems like that's what happens.
Okay, gotcha.
You know? How much it was, I don't know, but it certainly had to have been a factor. Really had.
Joe, historically speaking, does the U.S. Supreme Court generally just favor public opinion?
No, not really. They don't have to.
No, they're not supposed to, and they don't. But I think in that case, it would have been. Because if you were a justice thinking about this whole thing, it just might push you just a little bit enough to do that.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. One of our listeners, one of the smartest women in the world, asked the question, Joe, why does Joe find rape so funny?
Now, what indication is there that I find rape funny? I was laughing at a comment you made about something peripheral to it.
Right. About the president.
That he'd be in big trouble. You'd be in big trouble if you were his type.
If you were his type.
That doesn't mean I find rape funny or amusing or in any way acceptable. But you choose to characterize it as you choose to characterize it. And let's see here.
Right there.
All right. Ms. Irving should have filed for a PFA, and then the state should have removed his guns, but she committed a crime stealing the guns. She should have gone to the cops and made sure they removed the guns from his possession, as the law calls for. Again, the people the antis want us to rely on for our safety failed this woman. She did have a protection from abuse order against her husband.
Well, he happened to be in jail at the time, and she used that as
because
the opportunity
to take the guns.
To burgle the home.
Smart woman.
I say that's a violation. Joe says it's not.
You find women being threatened funny, do you?
I'm not laughing.
You were.
I've laughed on the whole show, but not about that.
Well, the same way I've laughed on the whole show, but not about rape.
All right.
So
we better get out of here. All Nancy, right. Go right ahead. Save us, please.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Long-time listener. I really enjoy your back and forth. And Joe, I'm so proud of you. I normally don't agree with your thoughts, but in this case, I think they saved the murder. I think she protected herself. I don't know if she had the right to do that. And when someone said she should be locked up, if he still had his guns, that's probably the only way she would still be alive.
I agree completely.
Does that happen a lot where an irate man kills a woman who's the PFA filer and
yes,
so on?
Yes, more times than you'd care to admit.
Well, see, that's just it. And I just, and Mark, I think if you think about this from a woman's point of view, if I was in that situation, which thank God I'm not, I probably would have acted the same way.
I know. I agree with you. I'm just arguing for the sake of being contrary.
Well, you
say
that
you
now.
You guys are like two old married people. You like to argue with each other just for the sake of arguing. Keep up the good work, gentlemen, and I really enjoy listening to you.
Great. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
We
yes.
appreciate it. Thank you so much for finally calling in. Appreciate that. All right. We have promised to read a story about a drag queen, but now you still have to wait another minute for that.
No,
is an interesting story. This is about a public library in and around Pittsburgh where they are going to be enjoying a drag queen reading to kids.
And drag it's queen not, story hour.
Right, and it's not just a good story they'll be reading, but there's a point to having a drag queen there instead of somebody who might look a little bit
Well, let's take the break and
typical.
Come back fast and we'll read it.
All right, here we go.
Is there a puddle under me?
Wait, what? Why?
I feel like I'm melting. It's too hot in here.
I have the air turned up as far as it will go. Can't you hear the hum?
I want to be cool, and I have a headache from the hum of the air conditioner.
Okay. I'll call TD Energy today.
Let TD Energy experts install a quiet, energy-efficient Mitsubishi ductless system in your home. Mitsubishi's Diamond Comfort System is 40% more efficient than conventional systems and will keep you cool in the summer and warm in the winter while dramatically cutting your utility bills. Plus, you get TD Energy's exclusive 12-12-12 warranty. 12-year parts coverage, 12-year labor coverage, and 12-year compressor coverage. Because when it comes to Mitsubishi ductless cooling and heating systems, don't just go with a specialist for your comfort. Get the experts at TD Energy Experts. Call 570-258-8088, online at tdenergyexperts.com.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we received a copy of a letter that was sent to one of our local listeners. He sends us one sentence at the top, and then we'll read the letter.
What he says is, reference to my statement about drag queen story hours and how offensive many people find this as opposed to prayer by a baseball team. And that's what started our discussion yesterday about the Montoursville baseball team praying. Dear sir, dear listener, the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in Oakland neighborhood will be hosting a drag queen story hour on June 29th and is recommending it to children from birth to fifth grade. These events feature a man dressed in drag who often reads stories of gender nonconformity to impressionable children. According to the Drag Queen Story Hour website, the programs have the following goals. It captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. Kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish and dress up as real. Many children express gender fluidity. DQSH teaches children to embrace gender diversity in themselves and in others. And that's www.dragqueenstoryhour.org. These events confuse children, encouraging them to contradict reality and to accept cross-dressing and gender fluidity as normal and acceptable. According to the American College of Pediatricians, conditioning children into believing that a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful is child abuse. And if dressing in drag and having access to toddlers is not shocking enough, one self-described drag queen said publicly, "This is going to be the grooming of the next generation."
All right.
Now, does that concern you at all?
No, I think it would be interesting to see. You could learn something. You would learn something. Kids would learn something.
And suppose tomorrow another group wanted to come in called the heterosexual storytellers. You know, you don't imagine people would find that
objectionable. At most libraries, that would just be called Wednesday. Okay. But, you know, if you wanted to take your kid to this, I don't think there's anything. It's certainly not as onerous as this letter writer makes it out to be. I think if...
Well, this is from their own description, from the website right. of the people. That's
No, I mean where he says, you know, kids, that it's normal and healthful to subject yourself to a lifetime
That's
of
from the American College of Pediatricians?
Right, which is a Christian group. It's not
that's
the,
a Christian group
of pediatricians. It's not the normal.
So all pediatricians are Christians?
No, no, not this particular one. This particular college is that. This is not.
That's like the American College of Pharmacists.
You're thinking of the American Academy of Pediatricians, which is the objective one that is more medically oriented. These are faith-oriented people that are ultra-conservative and certainly very, very, very entitled to their opinion.
Are they pediatricians?
Well, that I would assume so, but I don't know that for sure. But I would assume so. But I don't think there's anything wrong with this, and it's voluntary. If you think all of these negative outcomes are sure to follow your child seeing somebody in a drag outfit, then don't go.
But you find it offensive and wrong to allow prayer at a baseball game in a public field. Here's a public library inviting in drag queens.
You just said something completely untrue. You said I find it offensive that prayer is at a baseball game, and that's not true.
Well, you find
and that
I
find it wrong that a baseball game has prayer in it. That is not true either. It is illegal to have school-sponsored prayer at a baseball game function that's held by the school. That's
so
all. It's just illegal, Joe.
You can
hold on. You can call it whatever you want. The coaches are violating U.S. law. That's okay. The only crime that happened there.
So
is
here's
that they're
a public
violating
library
the law.
Bringing in drag queens.
Well, that's not
you
illegal.
You don't find that offensive.
Well, it's not illegal. I don't think it's offensive. Do you?
I think it's offensive from the standpoint that they should not be trying to indoctrinate anybody at the library.
Oh, my God. Who's indoctrinating who? They just
they say this is
reading.
For children from infants to grade 5, birth to grade 5.
Indoctrinating.
And,
they,
and one of the people who does it says we're grooming the next generation. Come on. Open up. Smell the coffee. They actually have an agenda here that isn't just telling kids stories.
So when kids actually learn about this, what happens? Do they accept it or reject it?
Well, that I think it's up to their parents to decide, don't you?
No,
to
I
teach
it's
them
up for the child to
so
decide.
So, in other words, morality now is to be dispensed at the public library by drag queens.
No one's doing a moral lesson here, Joe. It's just an
no.
Objective
I'm sorry. I think
that
they are trying to create a moral lesson here. Listen, I don't have any problem with whatever you want to be and whatever you want to become. You want to come in here tomorrow in a dress and high heels?
You do.
More power to you, buddy. But my
I have heels. I'll get them out. I wore them in the
you also
transitions.
Have a gun, so you may be packing them. Well, have to take your firearms from you. Too. But seriously, this is not what I think a library should be involved with. They should be trying to instruct kids, yes, and if kids have natural curiosity about something, I see nothing wrong in answering their questions in a straightforward...
Or having a book on the shelves about it, right?
Right.
That would be okay.
That
but,
would be okay. If the kid says, right. I'm a little concerned, I think I have some issues about what I am, certainly they should be guided to materials that help explain
right.
what it is they're feeling and help them sort through it. But I don't
always...
think... I don't think a drag queen is the method of choice.
We should always make sure that everyone looks like, act likes, behave like, and only sees people like Joe. Now, for the rest of the world, where all of us are different and have all kinds of interest in gender fluidity and queer role models and
oh, you have a queer
no
role
restrictions
Who's
on
your queer
our
role
gender
model?
Choices and where dress-up is fun and real, and for the rest of the world... they have to behave like Joe. You must look like Joe, behave like Joe, shave your head like Joe, and be like Joe. All right. I got you.
I think you're misstating the entire argument.
I don't think so. I think I'm summarizing it, and even you realize now that maybe you're in the wrong.
No, I don't.
I think you do. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We have the Drag Queen Story Hour at a Pittsburgh library. You're welcome to talk about that if you wish. 1-800-delete it, Joe. Do not go anywhere until you hit delete.
Delete, okay.
No, that's closing it. Oh, brother. Anyway, 1-800-795-9565. We are enjoying an open day. We've talked about E.B. and Tom's letter, the Drag Queen Library, Bernie's plan to pay back student loans, and the rape allegation against the president. Where, tell Frank, do you wish to hop on this train?
Oh, good Lord, I'm going to jump off.
Smart move, my man.
this is insanity. I'm not touching any of those subjects.
Okay, it is open.
I called in for one other reason. I've been listening to KOK AM radio. Love the fact that you can call in, voice your opinion. Hear the argument, the rebuttals, hear the emails, text messages, or whatever you guys are getting on the other side of the screen. But it occurred to me that the majority of your listening call-in people are men.
We think so. Yeah, we think EB may be a woman, we're not sure.
You don't have to look at that statistic. So when the sensitive subjects of Roe versus Wade, abortion, rights, I just would like, ladies, step it up. You have opinions. Call in more. If you're listening, they're probably taking care of a whole bunch of things that we are not, the male gender. But I've noticed that. And it's what it is. But I mainly like to listen to when there is something such as the accusation of the president having another yet voice of a woman from the past, you know, an allegation. I like to listen to what the women have to say, because the men spin pretty much in their realm, in their sphere. But I'd like to hear the ladies have an opinion and call in.
Oh, well, we value that too.
We don't screen the callers and reject women. They're welcome to call in. We have several regular female callers on the program who call
in. But I think I can name the three that call in, the ladies who call in all the time. I mean, Cindy comes to mind first. But, you know, you've got a regular band of guys who call in. You know, we all should probably just join you in the studio one day. And have a round table. Okay, whatever. But, yeah, there's my statistic observation. There should be more lady callers. If you're out there, call in. That's my little opinion this morning.
Well, thank you for it.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. We wish you were a woman, so then you would count in that that statistic. So
maybe
we would encourage more women to call. Fortunately, we do have the ear of three of the smartest women in the world, and they do occasionally send us emails. They'd never have called any one of them.
Well, we don't know, because we don't ask for your full name when you call in, and your email address doesn't always tell us who you are or what sex you are.
Yeah, I would venture guess we haven't heard from them.
All right. Well, that's your venture. But you're wrong about that, just like you are about the drag queens in the library.
Go ahead.
Mark, you may consider Drag Queen Story Hour interesting. I don't think young children should be exposed to this kind of grooming. Their words, not mine.
Not everything a child sees is grooming, just because they're in front of them.
But they state that that's their message. That's what they intended to do.
Well, they're grooming for the people to see.
They're grooming the next
objective
generation.
Things that not everything is binary. Not that they want them to grooming them to be drag queens. They're grooming them to understand that gender is a fluid thing, and they want people they want the kids to know that. Well, you have something interesting, so. In this day and age, you, of course, would assume that the youth in greater and greater numbers would be accepting the gender fluidity of our planet, but we know that that's not...
Which story are you looking for me to read?
The statistic from USA Today, new numbers. Well, let's take Van,
right.
Then
take
we'll read that.
Okay.
On the topic of drag queens, Van is on the line. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Last caller before a quick break. You're on the mark.
Well, good morning. Just one thing I'd like to say as far as... You know, you've been saying repeatedly about it's against the law to have prayer in the school. And the First Amendment, and I just read the First Amendment, and I'll read it for you in case you haven't read it in a while. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And there's a comma. So the government cannot establish a religion, which when this government was established, there was lots of Christian religions, and that simply was established so there would be no Catholic America or Methodist America or Baptist America. But we are a Christian nation. And then the next phrase says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So our government can pass no laws or make no law that prohibits the free exercise of any religion.
All right.
So you say there's a law that's that restricts that?
The Supreme Court decision, though, the interpretation of it, I think it sounds, Van, I agree, it sounds very clear. To me, if my free expression of my religion involves me praying at a baseball game with other students, I think that's my right. You know, but that's the interpretation by the Supreme Court over the years has held that the separation of church and state is not quite as simple or as black and white as that statement seems to be.
And the Freedom From Foundation has the legal citings here. If you send us your email, I'll send these to you. But it says, the U.S. Supreme Court has continually struck down school-sponsored prayer in public schools, for example, and they cite two cases, holding student-led prayer over the loudspeaker before football games is unconstitutional, finding prayers at a public high school graduations is impermissible in establishment of religion, overturning law requiring daily period of silence not to exceed 1 minute, illegal, holding school-sponsored devotional Bible readings, a recitation of the Lord's Prayer, unconstitutional, declaring school-sponsored prayers in public schools unconstitutional. In each of these cases, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down school-sponsored prayer because it constitutes a government advancement and endorsement of religion, which violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment.
But I'm with Van. I don't think it does, because it's not establishing a religion. It is just accepting the fact that they exist and allowing them to participate in society.
Okay. Well, you can be vague on it, but the fact of the matter is the law is clear. The school knows they're violating this. They won't be doing this prayer anymore, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation is in the right. Van, send us your email, and we will send you this so you can look up these citations and triple check that I'm interpreting this correctly and that the...
I don't think either Van or I dispute what you said, but we dispute the validity
the
of the action.
Right.
The basis of a lot of this is always back to separation of church and state. And that's an interesting phrase that people use, but you will not find that in the Constitution.
Right.
I would challenge you there.
Right. That no, it's not written, there. I agree with you there. We know that.
Well, that was written by Thomas Jefferson in a letter to a church in Danbury, Connecticut, I believe it was, Baptist church. That stated in there the separation of church and state, and the intent in that letter was to establish that the government would have no control over the church, to force the church to not be an influence in our society and have a role in our government. There was plenty of times in the past where the U.S. government gave money. I remember there was a Catholic mission that the U.S. government gave funds to support them. That was what their founding fathers did that. But anyway, back one thing I wanted to address with the
drag queen
stuff.
I figured.
What influence, these little kids, they know nothing about sexuality, so obviously this is just an indoctrinational tactic.
Well, gender expression's not about sex.
Well, that's, you can say, I mean, it's,
right, that's, I can say that because it's true.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard. the statements that are made by people on the left, all it comes down to in my mind, and this is the mind of a lot of Christians also, it's an issue of morality. And God is the one who establishes morality. And there's atheists that reject God, and they are immoral. They're therefore legalizing immorality. That's where we're at in this country. That's where we've been for the last close to 50 years now, where the free love of the 60s, which is against the biblical standard of being pure till marriage, where now that's mocked and ridiculed by pretty much most of our society. But we have this left-wing, progressive, liberal, Democrat party that wants a nation where the use of marijuana is legal, gay marriage is legal, prostitution they want to have legalized, and this all stems from the atheistic evolution that's been taught in our schools since the 60s.
All right, no.
They removed the Bible.
We got to move on. Got to hit that break. But thank you so much, Van. Send us your email. Just send it to onthemarketwkok.com. I'll send you that letter. You can check out those citations and see if they're applying them correctly. Maybe they're not. There could be, you know, Supreme Court cases that they say apply to Montoursville that really don't. We're enjoying open phones, the drag queens at the public library.
Yes, and this is going to be distressing to you, but...
We'll read the first sentence, and then we'll go...
That's what I'm going to do. Young people are growing less tolerant of LGBTQ individuals, a jarring turn from a generation traditionally considered to be embracing and open. A survey released on Monday shows that.
Young people are, in a manner of speaking, rejecting some of the gender fluidity that we've been talking about. We'll discuss this.
We better send them to the library at Pittsburgh this weekend.
Just have them listen to On the Mark. That should be sufficient.
Are you being obsequious over there?
No, I'm laughing too hard to talk.
There's a word here that Mark thought might be offensive
it's
in our
not.
Email.
Read the email, please.
From Caitlin.
She's one of the smartest women in the world.
Yeah, right.
It's true. We've heard from two today. All we have to do is hear from the third one. We'll have the trifecta.
Caitlin says, I would much rather send my kids to story time with a drag queen than story time with a cop. The only good thing about a cop doing story time at a library would be that he is not out on the streets shooting unarmed black people. Cops should not be in schools or libraries grooming children to be bootlickers. Signed, Caitlin. And you don't find that troubling. You'd rather send your children to see a drag queen than a cop?
I'd like my kids to see all of them.
Well, what are you doing over there?
I'm trying to get some nursery rhyme music going here.
Well, you know, I think that the definition of police from Caitlin is rather surprising. That's not the only thing police do. And if you think police, all they do is shoot unarmed black people, you have a rather narrow view of the world. In any event, we have another email here. Two of your recent callers made statements which are incorrect. And this is also from a woman. One caller stated there must be a God as there is no scientific explanation for the beginning of creation. The grand design by Stephen Hawking offers a fascinating and understandable explanation of reality based on science. Another caller stated that Russia favored Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Volume 1 of the Mueller report states that, quote, Russians' interference in the 2016 presidential election, a Russian entity carried out a social media campaign that favored presidential candidate Donald Trump and disparaged presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Volume 1 contains many details of the methods used by the Russians and also condones that Trump,
concludes.
That Trump, his campaign, and millions of Americans were duped by Russian social media specialists impersonating American citizens, thus no collusion. However, Volume 2 details illegal acts by the president to obstruct justice in order to prevent Americans from realizing his election was not based on his qualifications. Both books are extremely interesting. Finally, I recommend These Truths, A History of the United States by Jill Lepore. It will certainly make you give some thought to what makes America great.
All right.
Actually, they drew no conclusion about the president and obstruction of justice, to be perfectly honest about it.
I will forward those to Joe's email, and he will buy those books ASAP. Chris, go right ahead. Thanks for calling in. You are on the mark.
They drew no conclusion, but they had a lot of evidence of the obstruction. They didn't draw a conclusion because he wasn't allowed to draw a conclusion by his interpretation of the Justice Department rule.
He could have found a way to say it without saying it.
Moving on.
He could have, but he didn't.
Right.
And he did by showing the evidence.
What else?
But about religion, that last caller is exactly the reason why you need the rules we have today. If there was anything less American, I don't know what it was. He wants to put atheists in jail, basically, is what he was saying.
I don't think he said that, and I'm not certain that that's what he meant.
Well, it sure sounded like that. We're immoral. We shouldn't be allowed to have our beliefs. Basically, that's what he was saying. And he has no understanding that you can't use the government's offices to enforce to promote a religion. And we are not a Christian nation. Several of the founders were not Christians.
But I think his argument, Chris, is that the line in the Constitution doesn't say you can't promote a religion. It just says you can't establish one.
But you can promote Christianity if you want to?
I think you can promote any religion if you want to, but you can't
just keep religion out of the government.
Of the state, because that establishes their religion unless you open up to everybody to promote their own religion.
No, but he was absolutely correct in saying that what the framers of the Constitution wanted was no Catholic United States, no Protestant United States, no Baptist United States.
No, they wanted more than that.
Well, they didn't express it very well if that's what they wanted, if they wanted something more.
Well, they said no religion. How much clearer
they
didn't do you
say,
want?
They did, show me where it says no religion. It says
no,
shall make lo-
it
no
can't
law.
Establish a religion.
Establish
it say,
a religion.
Particular, it can establish Christianity, but not a particular form of Christianity.
Look
it
up the word establishment.
Like anything like that.
Look up the word establish. It doesn't mean you can't promote something. It doesn't mean you can't have it in place. It just means you cannot establish, make,
but they
create a religion.
Quite clearly that allowing the government to promote a religion is the same as establishing one.
Well, that was an interpretation by the Supreme Court. That's not what it says in the Constitution.
But it follows logically from the thing what's in the Constitution.
I don't think it does follow logically.
Not
I think
in Joe's
mind. You have your own peculiar logic, I guess.
Well,
but
nothing peculiar about it. I believe the Constitution means what it says. It says that the government shall not make
an
establishment of religion. I do believe it, word for word.
Word for word. I'm sure you do, huh? I don't see how.
Well, what part of it do you think I mock or make fun of or disagree with? Where have you ever heard me say anything in this program other than I support the Constitution of the United States as written? And if it needs to be changed, there's a process for doing that.
Well, you say that you don't agree with the welfare clause.
What welfare clause?
The beginning of it.
About welfare for people? There's no clause in there that says you have to give welfare to people.
No, but you can enact laws for the welfare of the people.
Well, sure, I have no problem with that. I may disagree with the laws, but I don't dispute that the Constitution gives the Congress the right to do it.
I think you've said several of them are unconstitutional. But back to religion. Having the government promote a Christianity is promoting a religion.
No, Joe doesn't see that.
Which is establishing a religion if you don't allow other religions to be promoted also through the government.
Or the free exercise thereof, and that would imply that you have the right to participate in it or reject it.
But not at government-funded functions.
That's right. You do.
Well, I agree with that, but what I'm saying to you is that
so
establishing a religion...
So therefore, my tax dollars should not be going to promote it.
Well, should my tax dollars go to promote something I disagree with?
Well, if it's a religion, it shouldn't.
If it's a religion, it shouldn't, yes.
It can go to things that benefit us.
You don't understand that, Joe.
No, I do understand it perfectly. It's you who are having the problem.
Oh, here we go. Okay, thank you, man. That's where that resolves this. Welcome back to the playground, kiddies. We're going to move on. Thank you so much, Chris.
About Trump, that was a terrible thing he said about the woman, facetious.
Right.
No,
yeah.
He was belittling the woman who was making the accusation.
Right. Verifies.
And does anybody believe it isn't true?
Right. It makes it clear who he really is.
Here is the...
thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Here's the definition of establish. Set up an organization, system, or set of rules on a firm or permanent basis. The synonyms include set up, start, begin, get going, put in place, initiate, institute, form, found, create, bring into being, inaugurate, organize, lay the foundations of, build, construct, install, plant.
Okay. So here
but
we...
But none of them have anything to do with...
Let's see if I have this right. if you put a drag queen in front of a child, you're indoctrinating them and you're going to make them become gay, all right? But if you pray in front of a student, you're not indoctrinating them. You're not going to make them become Christian. Which is it? Putting something in front of a young person either influences them and makes them become that, or it doesn't.
Well, one's a constitutional question. The other is a moral question, Mark. You ought to be able to tell the difference between the two.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right, we're going to take a quickie break. We want to tell you about our wonderful sponsor, which is the Sunbury Motor Company and their fabulous Quick Lane. I've been there many times over my many years, and I've never been there for very long because, well, quite frankly, the word is quick for a reason. You get in there, you can get your tires aligned, your body work done, you get the vehicle washed, you get pumped up, they pump you up with nitrogen, and you can watch TV and enjoy the coffee and relax in the waiting room, and they have current magazines in there, some you can't get anywhere else other than at the Sunbury Motor Company, and we would just love you to read those magazines. You can go out and look at your new vehicle, maybe pick out one that's for you, or a pre-owned vehicle that's in perfect condition. You can pick out a brand new Ford, Hyundai. They have one or two Kias in Sunbury. The rest you'll have to walk over to 11 and 15 while they're working on your car. Or Lincoln. Of course, if you tell them you're going to buy a new Kia, they'll probably take you over to the Kia dealership. And you can talk to Ernie in Austin, or while you're down at Sunbury, talk to Jeff or Mike, and they'll hook you up with your next vehicle. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com, sponsor of the On the Mark Show. And we'll be back with two quickie callers when we come back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got callers standing by. I think I told a big fib. I said 2 minutes. I think they'll get 1 minute each. Which came first? Van. Go ahead, Van. You get a minute.
Hey, Chris is amazing. I mean, what I said this morning, what he said I said wasn't even close. But just so Chris realizes, our Constitution says that there will be no laws passed to prohibit the free exercise of religion. You know, atheists don't have to do anything to exercise their religion because they don't believe in God. But the amazing thing is the ones that signed the Declaration of Independence put their signatures on a document that said simply, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That means that it's something everyone knows. Anyone with half a brain and one eye realizes these things, and that is that all men are created equal and that we're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and there is a creator, and those men realize that. Yes, many of them were not Christian, many of them were just simply theists, but they believed in a creator.
But that's the Declaration of Independence, right? Not the Constitution.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was between sentences. Lance, you'll give you the last minute. Go right ahead. It won't even be that, but go ahead.
Our founders were deists. I
mean, some of them,
in God,
yeah,
with no specific way, okay? And the state religion they wanted to keep the new republic from being had to do with a guy by the name of Oliver Cromwell, the Roundheads, and the Church of England. That was a dictatorial religion that hunted people down that didn't believe the way they did and either hung them or killed them outright. Well, that's what they wanted to save their new country from.
Catholics did that too under the reign of a certain queen over there.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
Thank you so
there
much.
There plenty
Lance,
of atrocities committed in the name of religion.
One of our listeners says, who says that every time someone prays, that person's praying a Christian prayer? Why are people so anti-Christian?
Good question.
Tomorrow we'll talk about young people less accepting of the LGBTQ community. We'll talk about that tomorrow. This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.